All right, let's turn in our Bibles this afternoon to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I've been looking at doing some studying in Acts, and when they chose their deacons, when the apostles told them, hey, we need to choose some deacons, this is a perfect place for you to turn to if you want to know some, you know, want to know the qualifications. It gives the qualifications for pastors, and it also gives the qualifications for deacons. And so we've been looking at that at church on Wednesday nights, and we've been studying the book of Acts, and we've come to that part. And so I want us to look at it today. And a deacon is a transliteration of the Greek word diakonos. May not be the proper way to say it, but anyway, it means servant. And really and truly, that's what a deacon is. A deacon is a servant. Be honest with you, a pastor is a servant. That's what ministry is, serving. As we look at that, there's certain qualifications for it. Deacons really are to lighten the load of the pastor so he can spend more time in the Word, more time in prayer, more time with the spiritual oversight. In other words, looking out for the flock that the Lord has placed him over. And when I say that, I'm not saying that we're to rule. Pastors are to rule over a church. I do myself believe that the Lord taught church authority, but the church is supposed to follow the pastor in spiritual leadership. As we look at the deacons, verse 8 of chapter 3, 1 Timothy, verse 8, it says, "Likewise must deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre." Now, the word grave, really and truly, it just has the meaning of worthy of respect, Christian character that's worth imitating. You know, we are to look to Christ for who we should be like. Who we should be striving to be like is to be like Christ. But no doubt there are people on this earth that I believe the Lord has placed around us that I think it would we can look at them as I don't know what you would really say to imitate, but to look up to and to be an encouragement to you in your Christian walk. Not double-tongued in verse 8, it says. Not telling lies. Running around gossiping. Gossip really and truly is nothing but a lie, because you know nothing about it. You don't know how much has been added to it or taken away from whatever it may be. And a deacon, a pastor, doesn't need to be that way. But truly, these things also as well can apply to the Christian that's just coming to church, that doesn't hold a church office, so to speak. They need to be grave, in other words, worthy of respect. Have Christian character that people can look up to. be not double-tongued, not telling lies nor gossip. You can depend on what that person says. Now it says, not given to much wine. When we look back at the day that we're talking and where Timothy was there in Ephesus, the water was not good. Timothy had some physical issues. He was a bit sickly, and they were mixing the wine with the water. And it wasn't, let's go out and drink and just have a party. What it's talking about is be careful how you fool around with alcohol. Alcohol is a dangerous substance. The majority of the Jews didn't really drink wine. Wine was only for special occasions. It wasn't their everyday drink. they drank goat's milk. You could get that fresh. It was ready. And they'd done a lot of that. And really and truly, when you study, you find out that wine is not as important as what we have it is today. Alcohol seems to be so important today to this world that it's a shame. But they don't show you on the billboards what alcohol will do to a person. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. He who is deceived thereby is not wise. Listen, if you're not wise, you're a fool. The only way to be deceived by alcohol is if you try it. If you never try alcohol, it cannot deceive you. And that ought to be your goal in life, is not to let it deceive you. So stay far away from it. It causes nothing but problems. But in Timothy's day there, they were mixing the wine with water, actually, as a purifying deal, trying to make it where it was decent enough to be able to drink it and not make people sick. He also says, not greedy of filthy lucre. Deacons in churches usually handle a lot of the offerings, and they usually handle giving to the needy when needed. And a person that is greedy really can be tempted to steal or use the funds wrong. And you don't want to be that way. You don't want to be greedy. Verse 9 of chapter 3, it says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Listen, verse 9 really means doctrinally sound. Study and know the Word of God. We need to be doing that. We need to be studying and knowing the Word of God, whether or not you're a pastor, whether or not you're a deacon, you hold an office, whether or not you're just newly saved, have just newly trusted the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, and we can glean from this passage, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, the word of truth. Listen, if you can rightly divide the word of truth, if you can rightly divide this Bible, you can wrongly divide this Bible. And we need to, people in the church, especially those that hold offices and teach classes, they need to know the Word of God. They need to be faithful to the Word of God, obeying it, be able to run the church and base decisions on the Word of God and back up those decisions with godly lives at home, at work, at recreation, and at church. You're going to tell a person they need to live in a certain way? Well, your life should show that. You don't want to be a hypocrite. This is good for you, but I'm not going to do it. No, you need to be able to back it up. Know what and why, you believe what you do. A deacon who doesn't know the Word of God cannot manage the affairs of the Church of God. A pastor that doesn't know the Word of God, how is he going to manage the affairs of the Church of God? How in the world, can we, as just members of a church, know how to vote properly in business meetings and things of that nature if we do not, know the Word of God? One who does not live the Word of God, not going to be able to manage the Church of God. If you're not living the Word of God Monday through Saturday, you only do it on Sunday, all of that's going to reflect on your character. It's going to reflect on your thought pattern. You're not going to be doing what God wants you to do. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10, it says, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon deacon being found blameless. Tested and proved, really. Kind of like proving a firearm. Somebody hands me a firearm and says, it's a good one, you take it, it's good for protection. Listen, I'm not going to take their word for it. I'm going to go out and I'm going to try it myself. I'm going to prove that firearm myself. I want to know that if I need it in the middle of the night, that it's going to work. When I was in the military, they handed me a weapon that I was supposed to use. Listen, I wasn't about to go out and get in some firefight somewhere, use it while I'm on maneuvers somewhere, if I hadn't proved that, yes, it does do what it says it'll do, what it's supposed to do. And this implies really to watching the lives of those that we want to bring into the church office of a deacon. But not only that, it really applies to all of those that are church members. They should be living a life that others can watch and see how they conduct themselves. It is the, really and truly, people ought to be able to watch you and see how you live, and they ought to be able to see Christ in your life. Is the candidate serving already? And there again, the member of the church. Are you serving already? Acts 13, let's just turn over to Acts 13 real quick. The book of Acts, chapter 13, tells us about Paul. Well, his name was Saul at that time, and Barnabas. It says, now there was in the church that was at Antioch, verse 1, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene, and Manaea, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In other words, listen, we need to be about busy. Preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers, and yes, members of the church, need to be about doing the Lord's work, need to be busy. Listen, the Lord isn't going to call someone to a position who's not doing anything. Listen, there's plenty of the ones that aren't doing anything already. He don't need any more of them. What he needs, people that is working. You know, they go out on visitation with the pastor and with the visitation group that maybe at your church that goes on and presenting the Word of God, visiting the elderly. They're going out doing that work being done around the church. There's building and the grounds, etc. They need to be out doing something. Matthew 25:21, the Lord told him, he said, you've been faithful at doing little. I'm going to increase things for you. You know, if we truly want to serve God, then we need to serve God where we're at. We need to serve God in the capacity right then and there. Not thinking, well, I'm not going to serve God until I get a big position. God's not going to move you into a different position until you prove yourself. You know, leaders are first tested servants. Joseph. Joseph was tested servant for 13 years before he became the second in command in Egypt. Moses for 40 years herded sheep out in the desert around Mount Sinai. That was his schooling, so to speak, and he was a good servant at that. He took well care of his father-in-law's sheep, and he was tested there. Joshua was Moses' servant for many, many, many years, and before Joshua was ever chosen to take the control after Moses had died, that he took Moses' place as the leader of the people that had come up out of Egypt. Then we think of King David. King David was a great and mighty man. He was a man after God's own heart. But David, when he was anointed, Samuel says, "Where is this all the sons you have?" Because God had told him, "These are not it." And David's father, Jesse, said, "No, I have my youngest boy. He's out tending sheep." You see, before David became the king of the great nation of Israel, he was tending sheep. You know, I don't know if you've ever been around sheep, but they're just plain down dumb. And they stink. And there David is out there with them day in, day out, protecting those sheep, leading those sheep around. And before he became the king of Israel. You see, so God's not going to use a person that's already not doing anything. He's going to use people that's doing. They are being doers of the word, as it says in the book of James, and not hearers only. Because those that just hear it, they're deceiving themselves. They really think they're getting somewhere. They think they're doing what God wants. They just sit around and listen to the word of God. Listen, they're deceiving themselves. They need to be busy about doing the Lord's work. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well." Godly homes is so important. I believe that's why our country is in the mess it's in today, because we do not have godly homes. The deacon's wife is a part of his ministry. Godliness begins at the home. A family who is serious about serving God at home will be serious about serving God at church. Really and truly, our homes have gotten way out of control. Our children, they don't have guidance anymore. The wives are not able to be at home anymore with their children. And I understand in today's world it takes a lot of money to live. But we need to be picking up somewhere that we've left off, keeping a godly home. We let our children watch mess on TV that when I was a young person, it would have been rated R and been at the movie theater. But now it just comes right on TV. It's sad. Let's look at verse 13. It says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good decree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Willingness to work, not just filling the office of a deacon, but actually doing the work, actually serving the people of the church, serving the Lord. Truly, if you're serving as a deacon is supposed to, if a person serving as a pastor is supposed to, if the member of the church is serving as they're supposed to, listen, they're going to be doing the work. It said in their degree, that really is a rank, is kind of what it's talking about. It equals rank, like in the military. Listen, if we are faithful in our calling, then God will promote us spiritually and give us more respect among the saints. I don't need anybody to brag on me. I don't need people to lift me to a pedestal. Listen, I'll let God do that, because God will exalt me in due time. And I would rather have the respect of those out there in the congregation as their pastor that I had to stand around and boast of things that I do or boast of things. Listen, it's nothing to do with me. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we don't need to worry about lifting ourselves up, exalting ourselves. If we're doing the Lord's work, God will see to it that we get exalted. And He'll take care of that. And we'll gain the respect of those around us. And it'll be a spiritual respect. And that's more important than the respect this world could ever offer. Is a spiritual respect. And that's what we need to be doing. Serving the Lord in His church is a serious, serious matter. I take it serious. Listen, we're talking about the bride of Christ. And so I take it very serious when I serve the Lord. I think that people that hold offices need to take it very serious when they serve the Lord. And, you know, we must take it serious. If we're to see souls come to the Lord, if we're to see lost people, their lives turned around, that they want what we've got, then they're going to have to see Christ in us. They're going to have to see the compassion, the loving kindness that Jesus had. They're going to have to see that, the long suffering that Jesus has for us. Think about that. You know, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus has compassion on us. Jesus is long-suffering with us when we have bad attitudes, when we do things we ought not to do. We should show that same kindness, that same long-suffering, that same compassion to those that are lost. And we should take serious what we're doing in the church. We should not just, we come to church on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, if you're lucky, Wednesday night. And, you know, we're just playing church. We need to be serious with what Jesus gave His life for. Acts 20:28 tells us that Jesus gave His life and shed His blood for the church. And we must take it very serious what we do for the Lord. Have a good afternoon. I appreciate your attendance to the radio, your attention. Thank you very much. I hope you gleaned something out of the passages in the scripture that we've read. I hope that the Lord works in your life. You know, today, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, trust in Him. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is only through the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So today, if you haven't placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, do so. Confess Him as Lord of your life. Let Him know that you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He is the Son of God. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Dios los bendiga a todos. God bless.